first like number of minutes.
All right, so now we're switching. We're still in Melicha, but before we get into the specific surah of Melicha itself, right? There was this one introductory thing about dam, which, by the way, we're under no obligation to do. It's just a very interesting question. It's a great theoretical question. Okay, very interesting. Okay.
Oh, so this is not you're
saying. Not really. Yeah. Amar Rav Gidel, Amar Ziri. Let's go.
Amar Rav Gidel, Amar Ziri, Dam Pein Lach Pein Yavish, Kotzeis.
Okay. So if a person is about to go in the mikvah, right, and they have on them dam, okay, so the halacha seems to be that whether the dam is liquidy or solid, right, either way it's a chatitza. What's a chatitza?
Separation.
Between him and the water, okay? Seems pretty straightforward. Yes. Yeah. I know. Okay, that's why I like this, by the way. That's why I did this. Mesive. Okay. So the Gemara then says, that's the question. What are those things?
Blood, ink, honey, and milk.
Okay.
Yavshin, kotzitzim, lachin, inon, kotzitzim.
Okay, but these four, don't we know from a different brisa that these four, let's again focus on dam. The dam is considered lach, it's considered, what do you call it? When it's lach, it's not chotzeitz, but when it's dry, it's your brisa. Maybe Mishnah, maybe brisa, that says that these four things, right, if they're dry, they're a chatzitza, if they're wet, they're not. Now we have a problem, we have an inconsistency, because the first man, the Amr, want to say that regardless if they're dry or wet, they're a chatzitza. This one says, no, it's only when it's dry. So the Gemara gives a cryptic answer. Lo kasha. Okay. Now this is very bad. Okay, this is very bad. So it says, when is it a chatzitza? It's only chatzitza when it's not stuck to you at all. Yes. But sarach means what?
Sarach is when it starts to dry.
Well, okay, which means, let's be careful. It's not just congealing. Right, it's congealing, right? It's starting to congeal. No, you're right, it's starting to congeal. But I'm saying you could. It's not just that. You wouldn't say that, but I don't think honey congeals, right? I'm saying it gets dry. What does it do when it starts getting drier?
Sticks.
That's the key. It sticks. Okay.
Doesn't honey do that no matter what?
So it's starting to get so it's sticky, right? Okay, which would lead you then to assume, before looking at Tosas the Mordechai, what would be the factor for something to be a chatzitza?
Whether it sticks or not.
What?
Whether it sticks.
Okay, a little right. No, well, okay, no. But what Joel's saying is more accurate. Meaning that you would have thought it's the presence of the object per se, right? But what is it about the fact that it's liquidy, right? That's the hard part here.
Water will go through it.
What?
It doesn't stay.
It's diffusive properties.
It moves. It doesn't stay. It will be. Look how nice it was. I translated Tosos. By the way, no. What? Yeah, you keep reading it in English.
Why is this unlike the price of
I like it in English. In Shabbos, wet ink and milk, right? No. Wet ink and milk are...
Here, since that the majority of the bucket is full
of milk,
the water cannot penetrate.
Okay, so what? Why is lach not a chatzitza? What is Tosfos telling us about our case here? If it's lach, why is it not a chatzitza?
Because water can,
because it does penetrate.
Right. Meaning what? Meaning if I had, let's say I had dvash on my arm, what would I say when I go in the mikvah? What happens?
The water is
going to
brush it off.
Right. Okay. So will the water eventually hit my arm? Yes, so it's only when it's stuck on there that the water can't get through to my arm. Right? But if I have lach on there, in a sense, when we say permeate, in a sense, even if it washes it off, but the point is that the water will hit my arm. Okay? So lach's property is, let's put it this way, lach's property is it's able to be brushed off, meaning it comes off easily. It's never going to be there at the time the water has to hit, whereas yavesh is stuck to you. That seems very intuitive. The Mordechai says no. The Mordechai says, you're up. Kasav or am.
Kasav or am. Bisfar or had.
Hakpadahu. He's makbin. He cares. Sha'al yavesh.
Sha'al yavesh derech b'nei adam hakpid v'alakin ein makpidim. Aval ein makpid afil lach chotzitz.
That's bad. We don't like this, right? Boo. Because what's he saying? The Mordechai is coming along and telling us that. No, he's saying that what's it? Lach is not, I mean, it's so much easier to look at lach as two physical categories, like wet and dry. Right, meaning wet comes off, let's say, yavesh does not. Here he's saying, it's a question of what I'm makbid on, meaning if I have like, I'm not sure why this is true, but if I have like hard dvash on me, right, and I'm going to assume, by the way, that the person let it become dry, right, and he doesn't care about it. He's not going to care about that. right?
It becomes part of the
guy. Excuse me, he does, he...
When it's dry, he cares.
Yeah, when, oh, sorry, right. No, it's, right, I'm sorry. Yeah, when it's dry, he cares about it. But if it's wet, because, now I could argue, what happens by, be quiet, what happens by, it's more than that. What happens if something's wet? If something's wet, he's not makbid on it. Why? Because it comes off, right? However, he has the means of relating to something as lach and being chatzitza. Okay? What's the machlokas? And not only the machlokas, what's the havi and the maskan in the Gemara? And then within the maskan, the two ways of learning. Right? Okay. Key thing is like this. What's the variable to say since this thing is starting to attach itself to you? What is that talking about? We have to explain that. Okay. I'm gonna, and this isn't a svara. It should be din in the substance, right? What do I care? What do I care if the property of it is sticky or not? At the end of the day, or there's, it's a liquid. It happened to dry, right? But it's still liquid,
no,
right?
It's not.
It's not. So what is it then? That's how you frame the question. You see, that's, you got to frame the question in what makes something a chatzitza. Yeah. That's what the Gemara is struggling with here. I want to know chatzitza, right? You see, don't get into congealed or not congealed. Question we're looking for is, what's a chatzitza? And the first place to start is a chatzitza has to be something that is on you. Okay? That's a starting point. See, what Sean said was very good. See, there's two ways you can define something on you, right? One is a relationship of proximity, meaning it's over there,
yeah,
and now it's here, right? It's on me, right? That's one way you can look at it. Or you can define on you as an addition to you, okay? If you use the word addition, meaning there was me before, now when, let's say I have a Band-Aid on me, right? And it's stuck to me. So now what I start saying, well, okay, that's what makes it part of the Gavra. What Darius is saying at the end is correct. But the point, though, is that that's a different type of relationship, meaning the idea of connection, it's the connection that makes it part of it.
Proximity
doesn't have to be connection. No, proximity can be on me. On me is a... If something's on you, I could be defining a type of relationship. I could say, oh, this happens to be here now, right? It was here before, now it's here. It's on me, right? Okay. That's just discussing a relationship. But what Sean is suggesting is no. The other way to look at it is you can gauge it based on the nature of the connection, meaning when it's connected to you, that's when it becomes a problem or an issue or something to discuss. And then if it's an issue of connection, then you can start getting into this business of at what point do we say it's connected, right? But that's a different way of describing a relationship of on you, right? So one is, right? Is that good? Okay. One way is in proximity, right? It was there, now it's on me. It was on the table, now it's on me. Then it's irrelevant of the nature of the connection, right? Or do you say no, that on you means it's become a part of you or it's in addition to you. There was me before. There's me and now there's me plus Band-Aid, okay? It's an additional part of me. If that's true, we can start getting into connections, right? So now let's inject Tosos and the Mordechai into this whole business here. Whereas Tosos seems to indicate, right, that why would you treat Lach differently, according to Tosos? Okay? I mean, I think this is what I'm saying, what Sean is saying would fit into Tosos. But what's Tosos saying? What do we care about? What do we care about this business of it's starting to connect or, versus the end? What's that hakira? Am I talking Japanese? I don't think he's staking out a completely independent position. I think he's working within Tosus's parameters. He's just modifying something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because I don't think the Mordechai would say. Mordechai saying normally speaking, what happens normally? A person's makbid on Yavesh and not makbid on Lach, right? I don't think Tosus would disagree with that. Tosus doesn't care.
No, yeah. Tosos says there's something inherently.
Don't mix with liquids.
Right. No, well, that's fine. So all you're saying at the end of the day is you're just reinforcing what Sean was saying at the end.
Sure.
Okay. I thought you were talking. I kept thinking you were talking about the mixture because you kept saying batal b'shishim. You kept saying batal b'shishim. That's why. In other words, Tosos brings in the case of rope to show you, right? That it's demonstrating that it's only a relationship. When I have liquid on me, what's the nature of that relationship? That's the relationship of, like you were saying, proximity, right? But when it's sticky, if it's yavesh and it's sticky, you can't say it's a relationship of proximity. What's the mechanism of determining relationship of proximity? This rove business. Rove is what tells me it's a relationship of proximity. Now, what Tosos is going to... So since rove defines a substance, so what you would say is that there's no mechanism in other words, we can say...
Yeah, the water can't overpower the milk.
Exactly. Right. That's easy, right? Okay. I think that's what Kanak was trying to say. Okay. Yeah, you see it? Okay, good. What would the Mordechai say?
Mordechai would say, no.
He's funny.
That, I mean, it seems like it's not making a distinction between wet and dry at all. It's just saying there are corpuscles here, and that's how we can
right. Right, but isn't it more of adding, he's saying, like, the guy's mocking, what's the guy mocking about? He's mocking on something that is difficult to remove, but something easy to remove he's not mocking on.
No, that's an accidental name.
His point is, that's what makes lach, like, you're right. What's the definition of lach according to him?
Same thing as dry, as yovish.
Exactly. Things that people don't care about.
But if you know this by the case of the Kohanim, you'd understand why the Mordechai is pushing his position. We know this by Kohanim also. There's a case by the Kohen, okay? Let's say, you remember this case?
Yeah,
no.
No, yeah.
The Mordechai, there's another sugya that you can use to help you out here, also by Chatzitza. Back in the times of the Gemara, right, when a guy had lice, so where do they think lice came from in the hair? Where'd it come from?
Your head.
Right? Because your head produced it. Right, okay, great. Right, yes. Okay, so now let me ask you a question. So I agree with you insofar as it not being lach or yavish. It really comes down to a question of how you define chatzitza. What is a chatzitza? If only. What's a chatzitza, ultimately? There's another way to look at chatzitza. Not just so far as the nature of connection. What's the other way to look at chatzitza? What's a chatzitza? It's a foreign object. Okay, so give me the two ways you can define it as define a foreign object. Dwight, by the Cohen case, if it's the bug comes from him, it can't be foreign, because how could something that came from you ever be foreign to you? Right? In other words, the bug is simply him. So I can't say, just like this hair is not a chatzitza, how can I say the bug is a chatzitza? But what does the other side say? What do I care if it's makbid? How does being makbid make into something foreign? So it's an interesting idea. The Mordechai is suggesting that the way, this is what I think Darius is trying to say 16 years ago, that you must be saying that, the idea of foreignness, right, doesn't necessarily mean that as a substance it comes from you. I mean, from a substance standpoint, it's more me.
Wait,
right?
How is it coming from you?
But I care about the other side, right? Which is that, but if I am makbin on something, what am I now doing to the object? I'm now doing what insofar as its relationship? Right, I can make something foreign to me. So that's what must be happening over here. In other words, the Mordechai's rationale is, what defines as a chatzitza, right? I define it as a chatzitza, meaning, well, you said the gavra relates to it, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning, if the gavra can define something as foreign to him or not. It's not the presence of the thing that makes it foreign. It's if he allows this thing, if it's the way he relates to it, that can define it as foreign. No, up to a point.
So how would the Mordechai do
with... The Gemara says, Timlach. Now, one second. If you recall, what does the Pasuk tell us in the Torah? It says, V'chol korban min chasacha, Bamelach Timlach. Okay. Think about that for a second, okay? I think you said this eons ago. Think about that. Bamelach, so every korban, bamelach, which means what?
Salt it with salt.
Right, you salt it with salt. Now, of course, that's, without looking at the Gemara yet, that seems a little
repetitive.
Superfluous, because what could have said was, is that lohosif melach, or latates, lases melach, right? Lasi melach. Bamelach Timlach is funny, right?
Or just Timlach.
Oh, or the other way, you know the Gemara. Or the other way is to say Timlach. Or say Timlach, meaning the Chol Korban Echa Timlach. Because Timlach can only be done with what?
No.
Salt.
Yes.
I can't Timlach it with pepper. Okay.
Well, you could, but you wouldn't be right.
That won't be Timlach. That won't be salting. That would be peppering.
Right. Right.
The Gemara's question is, what is Timlach coming to teach us? If it says Melach, right? Korban Echa Melach, that's all I need to know. Right. So the Gemara says, okay, that's going to be very big, very problematic. So if it just said Bamelach, I would have thought, right, what's Tivonehu mean? Did you look it up?
That you just put Melach on.
Yeah. Isn't it like desire or something?
Later?
It is, but right now, how would you define Tivonehu?
You douse it.
Douse it. He's right. You douse it. I know, but right now, Tivonehu, we'll get to the Gemara. Right now, he'd say, if I just said Timlach, right, if it just said Bamelach, right, what would I think? How much salt do I put on? A lot, right? So, Tam Lomar, Timlach, right? Then I don't need that much salt. Meaning, when I put the salt on, I salt it, right? Okay, so let's use the culinary analogy, not the Korban analogy. So let's say Kali's having fries. So if the Torah just said Bamelach, I would think Avi can come along and dump that of salt on your French fries. If you said Avi, salt, right? That translation, dump lots of salt. But if you said, salt my French fries, you put a little salt on it, okay? That's just the Gemara saying. Okay, that's one thing.
Right.
Now go on the Gemara.
What?
Wait. V'i Timlach, no. V'i Timlach.
V'i Timlach, V'yachol,
Ah, so if it just said Timlock, what would I think? I could use salt water. Because technically speaking, if I poured salt water on the korban, and there's salt in it, right? What do you mean it's kosher? It means it's okay. Yeah, okay. The Gemara says no. Tamal Lomar.
Tamal Lomar, Bamelach.
Bamelach, stop. So meaning this, I have to use a substance of salt, okay? So one thing's teaching you the quantity, meaning you don't have to put a lot on. What's very interesting, though, is that, as you'll soon see, the Gemara never tells us what the shiur for Malicha is. Remember the Rambam? What's the shiur for Malicha by Korban?
Well-salted.
Yafe. What kind of shiur is that? Put a yisaron on it.
Yeah.
Okay, one second. And the other way of learning it is to tell you that I need the substance of salt. So, of course, we have in here both havaminas. Mm-hmm. Can we just finish the Gemara? Sure. Okay, let's finish the Gemara. Kyle, keep going. Okay, that's interesting. Now, when the Torah says velo sashbis melach, which we heard, we thought tashbis, Kanarik thought tashbis is hashbasa. What's hashbasa here mean? What? Tashbis here means what? Normally, what would you think? Destroy. But no. It means shoveses, okay? Meaning it's subject to being stopped, okay? Meaning that what kind of salt do I require to use? The salt that's always available, okay? The Ezozu, which salt is always available?
Melach Sedomis.
I'm not sure why, but it turns out it's always accessible. Okay. Uminai, do you guys know that? Of course not. Okay, Uminayin.
Uminayin, she'im lo mata melach Sedomis. She may be melach.
Okay, now that got a big problem. All right, so the Gemara says, but let's say I can't find Melach Sedomis, meaning what kind of salt is Melach Sedomis? It's readily available. It's always available, right? This kind of salt, Istrokanis, is mined, right? You mine for it, right? Which means it's not always available, okay? Now let me answer you a question, a simple question. What kind of salt am I chayav to use? Melach Sedomis. Seems that way, right? Gemara is saying, you really, lo sashbis Melach. What kind of salt do I have to use? That kind of salt, right? So how can I use this other kind of salt? Tamalomar, kol shehu, meaning any melach, meaning it doesn't matter if it's melach stomus or melach istronakis, it's good to use, right? Keep going. I can bring it from anywhere, meaning I can bring it from outside Eretz Yisrael. Takriv afilu b'Shabbos, and I can use melach on Shabbos on the korban, and also takriv afilu b'tumah. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Tivonehu, keep going. The Gemara now says,
my Tivonehu.
Now, that's very bad. You know what's very bad about that question? What's so bad about the question of my Tivonehu?
Because that was our Halloween. It's like, oh, well.
It's worse.
We would have Tivonehu if it didn't say this.
No, it's worse. What's worse about saying the question of my Tivonehu? Who's it asking it on? The Gemara says, Timlach, Lamai Aso, the Kedisanya, Bemelach, Yochol Tivonehu. Who wrote that?
Who said Tivonehu.
Right. What are they asking what on? They're not asking on the word in the Torah what it means. They're saying, what did this guy mean? Mm-hmm. They don't know what this word Tivonehu means. Why would an Amora write a word that no one else knows what it means? Why would he do that? You have to answer that question. What? You're exactly right. In other words, I can understand the Torah does that. The Torah, Tanakh, uses words that are cryptic. Here, why would he use a word that itself, they don't know what that word means? No, it does not. It does not. So keep going, Kalev. So what does Gemara say?
Amar
Rabba Bar Ula. Did you guys know this, by the way?
No.
So yisbonenu, right? What's the root there? Yisbonenu. What? To build, okay? Very good, to build.
So you build a pillar of salt.
I think I just read, hold on.
I don't know if you knew this, by the way, but in other words, this is the hard part. So what does it mean, yachol yisbonenu, kiteven betit? Okay? So what's the ratio of, this you should know also from the end of this coming parsha, if you guys didn't shine mikra yet, what's the ratio of teven to tit, of straw to mortar? Okay? You have a lot of the teven in. So just like you need a lot of teven to tit, you can put a lot of salt. Okay, meaning, now you got to understand something. Follow this. I'll write this out for you because you're not going to follow this. But wow. The Gemara is saying, the Havamina was that I could use a lot of salt. Meaning, there's a machlokas in the Havamina.
Right.
Everyone agrees, I don't use a lot. So one way to learn a lot is to say, yisbonenu. Okay, that's one way to learn it. The second way is, Amrale Abaye.
Amrale Abaye, I have a yisbonenu, we bought
You should have jumped out of your chair. So if that's true, why isn't the Gemara just right? Yizvonenu. Why is it writing Yivonehu, Tivonehu? Yes, we're in Havamina Gehenim. The Gemara says here. That's about to say. He says, Ela Amar Baye, Yachol Shiyaaseu Kivinyan. So it says, when it says Tivonehu, learn out not Bone, but Binyan, meaning structure. Meaning, you would have thought, how much salt do I put on there? I could put like rows of salt, okay? Which I don't know if you knew this, but when you do that, you make Shuros Harbet, like lots of rows of salt, okay? The Gemara says, no, right? Again, use a little bit. Amr Le Rava, Ihachi. No, Yivnenu Mibayale. Then it should have said Yivnenu, which means build salt. I know, what's going on here, right? El Amar Rava, Yachol Tivonehu, which means what? My Tivonehu.
Amar Ravashi, Yachol Yikimbo Ta'am Kibina.
Now, what does that mean? What's Tom Kabina mean?
A reason, like, understanding.
No.
A taste.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Meaning the normal amount, you would think it's the amount that a person tastes to eat. Right. Okay? Tom Lomar, Timlach. You don't need that much salt. Okay? Now, one second. This third way is even more difficult to understand. Because you went from large amounts of salt, no. Large amounts of salt, no. Not so much salt. No.
Also, Tivonehu is spelled with a tough.